This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Like Mary Kay joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, you wrote yesterday because it was a question of whether or not he wanted to go out and practice because it was cold outside. And he's like, I played in Green Bay. So what's going on here, Mary Kay?
Yeah, he basically categorically denied that rumor that's been out there that I've heard a number of places that it had something to do with him not wanting to practice in the cold. He just basically said, I played in Green Bay. Y'all are crazy. And later again, something like, you know, you guys are funny. I went back at him a couple other times just to say, hey, you know, if that's out there like that, maybe, you know, maybe it would be in your best interest to explain what did happen so there's not this perception that you just refuse to practice for some ridiculous reason. And he just is not ready to go there yet. He's absolutely not ready to go there. But I can tell you that he doesn't feel that the benching was warranted. He was surprised about it, and I'm sure he's still very upset about it. So it's a miscommunication, a misunderstanding between a coach and a player that resulted in him not being able to play in the game. And, you know, for everyone to just assume that he did something really stupid and that he did it on purpose and cost himself playing in that big game, I think it's premature to do that.
Mary Kay, the flip side of that is maybe this is the head coach trying to assert control over the team, restore order. It's just as odd that this happens this late in the season and you miss a guy who was vitally important for that secondary, especially with those plays that they gave up in that second half, or the end of the first half, really, against the Steelers. And now, oh, great, he's active this week for a game when they have a 6% chance to make the playoffs.
Well, again, we don't know the whole story yet. And at some point, maybe Demaryius will be willing to tell the story. He's not willing yet. He still has to play 4 games for the rest of the season. So I actually think that it was probably a wise move on his part. If he wasn't ready yesterday to explain what really happened, maybe he is showing some maturity there and saying, look, I've got 4 games left to play. We are not out of this yet, even though we still only have a 5% chance to make the playoffs. There's a chance. So I'm not going to be a distraction. I'm not going to go against what my coach did to me last week. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to get back onto the field and play some football, and we'll talk about this later.
Well, let's look at some bigger picture items then with the Browns as it relates to Demaryius Randle. He was a guy who, I know fans loved him last year because of the Hugh Jackson stuff, but there were some warning signs in Green Bay, so he was a guy that Dorsey took a chance on. Antonio Callaway, we certainly understand that. There have been other players. Do you think that is one of the bigger issues surrounding the Browns this season, is that some of the chances that Dorsey took may not have worked out?
Well, I do believe in second chances as well, and I applaud him for taking second chances on many or most of the guys that he takes second chances on, because some of them can be rehabilitated into really good people and good players. So I don't have a problem with that, but here's the thing. You do have to be judicious in the amount of character issues that you put on one team at one time, especially with a first-year head coach. It's a lot to handle. When you have a lot of really strong personalities in the same locker room, and especially, again, like I said, for a first-year head coach. So I think that maybe in retrospect, you might pick and choose and not have, you know, 7-8 of those kinds of guys on your team at once.
Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How much responsibility of the 5-7 season lies on the shoulders of Baker Mayfield?
Some of it does. Yes, absolutely. Some of it does. I mean, when you look at some of the passes that he's thrown in the fourth quarter, first of all, he's got 7 fourth quarter interceptions. So some of that does have to be on him. You know, you've got guys like Devlin Hodges and Brandon Allen that are coming in and beating the Browns and and somehow finding chemistry with James Washington and other players that they haven't spent hardly any time with at all. So, yeah, I think some of it has to fall on Baker Mayfield. You've got to be able to go down and win a football game in the fourth quarter when you need it. And his statistics show that when the Browns are trailing with 4 minutes or less, he has one touchdown and four interceptions this season. Some of it not his fault, but some of it is. And I think the blame for this 5-7 season goes to a lot of different places, including coaching, scheme, play calling, execution. It's not just one thing.
Well, they still do have the four games, and obviously they are winnable. Then they have already beaten Baltimore once this year. So, Freddie, how much of a chance does he still have to put his stamp on this team to the point where there are no questions or limited questions about him going into next year?
A lot. I think a lot. They control their destiny to a certain extent, and that is by winning out. That's all they have to do. They've got three football teams that they really absolutely 100% should be able to beat, in the Bengals twice and the Cardinals. So it really just comes down to, can you man up and beat the Baltimore Ravens on December 22nd and still give yourself a chance? Because the chances bump up right now to about 34% of making the playoffs if you can finish 9-7. And there should be no talk in the locker room, no vibe in the locker room or anywhere in Berea that this thing is over yet, because it's really not over yet. And it comes down to, can you beat the Ravens? And they beat them once before, so why not again?
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline, Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Boy, that injury list yesterday was disconcerting. And that has reminded me of past Decembers in that exact same situation where they have had a lot of guys that start missing practice. One of them is your quarterback who was there but has a rib situation, obviously a hand situation. How serious are these injuries?
Well, they're serious enough. I mean, you really don't want your quarterback's throwing hand to be injured heading into a football game. He didn't touch the ball yesterday at all in terms of throwing it. He says he will do so today, but I'm sure that there is some adverse effect to having a contusion on your throwing hand. So hopefully for the Browns, he's a fast healer, and he will be absolutely fine by the time Sunday rolls around, and he probably won't overdo it today or tomorrow. But yeah, it's never good when your star, your key players have injuries. I mean, you've got J.C. Treader. Now he's going to be battling it out through a knee injury, and a lot of other guys are banged up. So yeah, they're going to have to dig deep, and guys are going to have to play hurt, and Freddie's big on that. He doesn't want you to play injured, but he definitely wants you to play hurt.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. What was the explanation that you got behind Chris Smith? Because there are a lot of people who seem to be pretty upset with that decision.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are upset with that. And I think that, there's not any great explanation for it. I think they stuck by Chris as long as they felt they could, and they wanted to give him an opportunity. And that probably went on perhaps maybe weeks longer than they would have intended to from a purely business standpoint. Again, from a humanity standpoint, I suppose the better decision would have been just to keep him around for these last 4 weeks, let him be surrounded by his teammates, and also show those teammates, a lot of whom were upset, that you do have feelings for the players aside from, just from a business standpoint. They understand it's a business, but this was a special circumstance. And I would say that enough of them that we talked to yesterday were upset about it that it probably really would have been worth it from many aspects to hang on to Chris.
Well, could they put him on IR? Or is there a change now because of the new laws or with the Patriots and everything there? Is it as easy as putting a guy on IR? Was that possible for them?
You know, I suppose they could have possibly put him on IR. The good thing is that he had his guaranteed money for the rest of the season, so he still is getting paid. So from that standpoint, it's good. But, he was surrounded by the guys that helped him get through this. He was surrounded by his best friends. And I think it will be tough at this point for him to catch on somewhere else the rest of the season, given everything that he's been through. It would be a lot of upheaval and a lot to go through probably emotionally to try to start over somewhere else. So he will probably be faced with rebuilding his career in the offseason.
Cutting Devereaux Lawrence was a strong move too, a surprising move. Why did that happen?
Once again, he was a guy that sort of was everybody's buddy in the locker room, and everybody really liked him a ton. And, just always a lot of energy and smiling and bubbly around there. And that was a hit to some of these guys, too. These guys really were sad to see him go. But it was, again, it was a purely football decision. They didn't like what they were seeing on the football field, and they didn't see that it was going to get better anytime soon. They let him go.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Any news about Joe Schobert? Are they in contract negotiations at all, or what's going on?
No, I haven't heard anything about contract negotiations with Joe yet, so I can't say that anything is imminent or close, but these things can change on a dime. Generally, you stay in close contact with the agents for players like that, and then when the time is right for both parties, something can happen at any moment. But right now, I don't know that it's imminent.
Seems like by most of the statistical measures we have available, the Browns are roughly in the middle of the pack defensively. How would you evaluate with, four games left in the season, the job that Steve Wilks, defensive coordinator, has done?
Well, I do think they need to do a better job in the back end. And I think that Denzel and Greedy were both hurt by missing four games with hamstring injuries. I do think that's a little bit difficult to overcome. I also think that losing your best defensive player for the last six games of the season doesn't help anybody, including those in the back end that need a good push up front. I think that the defense could have played and should have played a lot better this season, just like the offense. So I think both units underperformed and underperformed at crucial times in key games.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the show. For Odell Beckham Jr., a lot of crazy internet rumors going on out there. How's their relationship with Odell right now?
Well, it could always be better. I mean, for Odell to stand up there last week and basically reveal that being in the end zone for his touchdown was a bittersweet moment for him, because he felt like he should have been in there so many other times this season. That's a tough thing, for an organization to hear, I'm sure. So there has been a disconnect between Odell and Baker all season long, and I think everyone's going to have to, take a look at this going forward and see how they can make it better.
Do you think you could trace any of that to the way they handled both training camp, OTAs, even the preseason?
Well, they didn't have a lot of choice in that. In terms of the injuries that he had during training camp. He wasn't really able to practice during training camp very much because of the groin/hip injury. The OTAs part of it, later he mentioned that he was still recovering from the quad injury from last year at that time. So I think that's also hard to argue if it became an injury situation, why he wasn't here in part. But I do think, and I said it way back then, that time on task with Baker and Odell would have helped, and just, him being around here a little bit more during OTAs and the mini camps and that sort of thing probably would have been good.
Sensational, Mary Kay. We thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
Thank you, guys.
The wonderful Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.